Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is your Let's Talk Truth radio broadcast. This is your host, Lois, and we're here this evening to share with you on a subject that I'm sure is dear to everyone's heart, why women are second-class citizens. And we have in our midst our guest, is none other than Mr. Motivator. Let's give him a hand, everyone. And we have a newcomer this evening that can enlighten us a little bit based on their perspective as a female. And this person is, help us welcome, Louise Edwards. Okay, thank you. Now, as you all know, Mr. Motivator has been in this area, this arena for a while now. He has touched bases with some of the best and some of the least. But either way, Mr. Motivator is still Mr. Motivator. He's here and he's very knowledgeable in certain areas. And Ms. Edwards, Louise Edwards, is here, and she's coming to us in a perspective from a wife, a mother's point of view, and also someone who is out and about and touching the public in different ways, but she's going to be able to share some of her insight as well. Now, we're talking today about why women are second-class citizens, and if you wonder where we got that title from, I believe, and a lot of us believe, that that's exactly how women are treated. Now, this evening, we're going to examine why these women are treated in that manner, and we're also going to examine whether or not are some of the arenas that this happens, are they worse than others? And first and foremost, where did this treatment derive from? Where did women get the short end of the stick? And also, have these treatments been adopted by the body of Christ? So, and as I want to say this, as I do in every broadcast, as I come forth, I don't come on here to preach to you, but I do believe that if we're going to get down to the truth, you can never get to the truth without the knowledge of Christ. So that's why we always apply Christ to every situation, because that's the only way the truth is going to come forth. See, there's your truth, my truth, and then there's God's truth. And his is the one that stands out. And if what we're believing and what we're working at doesn't line up with the word of God, then guess what? It's your opinion, and it has nothing to do with truth. We're going to start out this evening by trying to come up with, when we say second-class citizen, I'm going to ask my guest, and either one of you can answer, is there a double standard, do you feel,
yes,
in the way women are treated? Is there a double standard? We're going to let Ms. Edwards answer that.
Yes, I think there is a double standard in the way that women are treated, and it started from way back during the Bible days, because I feel like no matter how modern this day may be, women are still treated as though they are like a property. They don't have say so in the way that things are handled, such as in a lot of your countries over in the East, even today, you got a lot of women out here that still being
treated horribly.
Treated horribly.
Yeah.
And because of the fact that they don't have any say about how their children are cared about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they their children some of the children have to some of the children are treated like property.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any say as to whether they their kids. If the husband decides they want the kids to be sold into slavery, some of these women, they don't have no say about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really horrible, because now it's like, why should we as women be treated like this,
mm-hmm.
just because the men feel like they're head over everything?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the way God really planned it. God planned this thing to be, we should be equal, but in separate compartments,
mm-hmm.
separate capacities.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Listen, let me say this as well. I look at when we're talking about, this comes from, we always want to talk about women being treated badly. We always look at our third world countries. Now, and I was reading this article about the women in Afghanistan, and it emphatically states how the women in Afghanistan are not allowed to even leave their homes on their own free will. Like, you can't wake up one morning and all of a sudden you want to go to the store, or you forgot something, or you want to go shopping. You can't do that on your own. And if you do go outside, you're forced to wear a full body veil, you know, from head to toe. They don't want any of your skin to show. And also, if you go out, you must be accompanied by a male relative. Didn't say a male. He's not just a bodyguard, but it has to be a male relative. And while you're away from home, you're not even allowed to speak to a man outside of the family. You cannot, you know, if you're female, you can't do that. Women are also restricted from holding jobs, going to school. You can't even rent a hotel room. Say, for instance, you want to get away for the weekend, you just can't walk out the house and rent a hotel room, or you can't even get your fingernails polished. In other words, so you can't go get groomed up. Women are not even allowed to eat in public without risk of severe punishment. So I think this is a horrible way to live, and this is strictly in Afghanistan. But we also have it in we have it from the Islamic faith. We have certain restrictions in Japan, different things like that. And I believe that the women in the United States are freer to do what they want to do, and I think we're freer to a fault, you know, because sometimes we take it too far as females. And I was reading further in that Afghanistan punishment that if women are caught committing adultery, you want to cheat on your husband, you die. Mm.
And I think that's something awful to say. And then if you are caught wearing nail polish, the top of her fingers could be chopped off. Now, how cruel is that? But, you know, they do all of this treatment in the name of their religious belief, you know, who, and I believe that's Muhammad, that they're believing in, and they're also doing all of this, these horrible things to our females. And isn't it sad that you can manipulate and mutilate a body or a person and base it on your religious beliefs? And also, one thing that I believe or understand from what I've read is that these religious beliefs are, they believe this and they go to the extreme because they don't want it to be anything like America. They don't want any of that Western culture or that Western tradition. They want to go so different from that Western tradition. So I believe that's what's why they're doing stuff like that. But what God is going to allow you to manipulate a person or do stuff to an individual based on things like that? So that's horrible. And I know, Mr. Motivator, I want you to give me your take on
just how you feel about the third world country or whatever it is we were talking about there in Afghanistan. What is your take on that as far as treatment of women and being second-class citizens?
The word that comes to me, Lois, is value. I think we need to value our women, and we need to value them, place value on them, and not look at them as property that we own and we can do any kind of way we want. I think we have to have not only value but respect, and we have to appreciate the contribution of women all around the world and what women have done to make the world a better place. We have to consider the contributions that women have made to help nurture and train children. We have to consider the value that women have made in just about every facet. Women have had a part to do with shaping the world. And I think it's sad that women aren't valued and they're not appreciated. And if we appreciate the women and we value them, it's going to help them to continue to grow and to play even a bigger part in our society. And the reason why I support this show that you're doing today, and I appreciate you inviting me to come out and be a part with be a part of the panel, because I've often thought about this. I look at how my grandmother's Mrs. Lutie Wright and Mrs. Lurleen Jeffrey. My grandmothers both were very strong ladies, and they played a real important part in keeping their families together. My grandmother, Mrs. Lutie Wright, played a part in the Wright family, was helping to mold and shape our family and to keep us strong. And on the Jeffrey side, my grandmother, Mrs. Lurleen Jeffrey, played a great part in helping to shape our family and to inspire us to be achievers. There's so much, but I'm in awe about this subject because I'm looking at even with our children, how we value sometimes the boys even more so than the girls, okay? Because we do what we can to help the girls, help the boys make their practices, to make their games. And sometimes we leave the girls where they have to fend for themselves. Hey, if your parents can't get you to the game, your parents can't get you to practice. And when it comes to boys, we want to work together. And all of those coaches will go, hey, we're going to help everybody. We're going to make sure that we come together. We're going to get the bus, and we're going to get everybody on, or we're going to get a van. We're going to make sure we got everybody together because we're family. We're a team. And it starts there. And there's so much, I think, that we can look at in terms of the value on women and where it starts at. Ms. Edwards, would you like to add something else? Because I see you look like you have a point you'd like to make, but go ahead and share something.
Yes, I would. I think that with the pay rate and everything, I think that there should be more of an equalization of how the jobs, how the men and women get paid. It is projected that the women make about 70% of the dollar that the men make, and so I think that women should get more money because they have most of the time there's more women out there that's taking care of their families, you know, and so they need more money that so that they can, you know, take better care of their families and everything, you know. And I think that even with the educational structure and with the with some of the job factors such as sports and everything, women should bring more money into the paying the women more money, because I think that when it comes to valuing, showing value to people, you show value by when you don't try to increase the wages of the women, you're showing them that you're not valued at all. And so I think that the women should have more money, and they shouldn't be having to work for less money, mm-hmm. constantly being put on minimum wage jobs, or they go to school maybe to be a doctor or a nurse, but yet they're still making less than what the men make just because of the fact they're women. So I think that they should be a more fairness with the way that women are getting paid. That would mean that the little girls that's coming up and they watching their mothers and everything, that's going to make them more motivated, you know, to want to go to school and get their education. But if you don't try to make things right, you know, it's just going to mean that the girls, they just feel like, well, since the guys are making more money, I'm just going to get me a man to take care of me.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I just wanted to say that I think the playing field needs to be leveled in terms of if you walk in those shoes and you feel those needs, you handle that responsibility, then your pay should be where everybody else's is. I mean, if the woman is wearing the hat, if she's running the operation, she's the CEO, she deserves to be paid what a man should be paid. And that's in all fairness. And I think when we try to become fair and balance things out, it changes the whole attitude. It changes the picture from a different perspective. And I think when we want to pay men a certain amount of money and then we don't want women to come nowhere close to that, it's one-sided. And it really taints the view on it. Okay, Lois, I know you want to add something else.
Okay, let's... I appreciate everything you all have said, and everything you said has been right on point. Now, we were also examining, and I believe that's what you guys were doing a minute ago, examining the different arenas in which women are treated as second-class citizens. So we know not just in the home with the husband's and wife aspect, but also in the schools, mm-hmm. and you move on over to the workplace.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to tell you a really good place. Let's move from our third world countries. Let's move right here in the good old United States of America.
Okay.
When we move here in the United States of America, look at our females. Our females can be as smart and brilliant and articulate as they can be. But, as you said a minute ago, they're not looked at as being that. If you find a strong female, mm-hmm. you know what the male population is going to say? Oh, she's out of her place.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why they say the woman is out of their place? Because they don't want to come up to where she is. Mm-hmm. They want her to diminish her knowledge that God gave her, diminish her ability that God gave her, and just come down to be a mediocre person so that male will not have to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't feel intimidated by it. And I think that's horrible. That's awful. And I think that when you want to examine Scripture, people always say, ooh, don't unequally yoke yourself, a believer and an unbeliever. I believe you can unequally yoke yourself with two believers. If one is believing one thing, one is believing another. So we have to really examine the different arenas. Now, I'm going to go just a little bit further, because I will tell everyone, yes, I'm Lois, let's talk truth. I've been married twice. Now, when you find men
who are jealous of their own wives' prosperity. They don't realize that when the wife prospers, they prosper.
Yes.
So, but they don't want to see it that way. They want to be the one to lead out, but that's not exactly what God is saying. He said that men are protectors and providers. He didn't give you a percentage of how much you need to provide or a percentage on how much you need to protect. Now, I'm a female. Let me talk truth here. Let's be honest. We have some females that go overboard.
Mm-hmm.
They're controlling.
Yeah. Bossy,
pushy, manipulating. They want to do it just like they want to do it. But there is a cure for that woman.
Mm-hmm.
The right man.
Mm-hmm.
All it takes is the right man to stand firm, get himself grounded in Christ. You can handle that. You can handle that.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the arenas that we've gotten into.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing we want to say, we've examined the arenas that the women are treated like second-class citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as Ms. Edwards said a minute ago, she said this started in the Bible days. And we have the biggest controversy in the church, who ate the fruit. You know, who was responsible for eating the fruit? I think that's where it came from. Well, actually, yes, Eve did make a mistake. But who did God give the direction to? He gave the direction to Adam. But Adam was thinking the wrong thoughts when he, you know, he just was consumed by the beauty of that woman. And I always say Adam was sitting on the couch with the remote, looking at a game.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't paying attention to what he handed. And told him, eat some of this, Adam. Oh, okay. Hurry up now. Move, move, move. I got to see his plate. Yeah. He bit the fruit, which caused havoc. Now, we know that there was sin on every part that caused that whole outcome. You know how everyone was responsible? Because everyone was punished. You know, God didn't just punish Eve. He punished Adam. He punished the serpent. So no one got away scot-free. So why are we still arguing today? This is why I tell you that women should not run things. But there are plenty of women in the Bible who ran things.
Mm-hmm.
But they ran them in the proper manner. Everything has procedures.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has rules. Mm-hmm. But when you go outside of the rules, I don't care if you're man or woman, you're out of line.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been in, and the next thing we're going to do before we say that, when did this creep over into the body of Christ? That's when it started in the body of Christ. But we're taking it on today. And I'm going to say something here, and I know I'm going to be lashed out for it, but I just need to understand it. Why do we have pastors and first ladies? Come on.
Who's the first lady?
Mr. Motivator, what's a first lady?
That's what I want to know.
What
is the first lady?
What is... Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. But I believe when we become joined, we become one. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Two shall become one flesh. We're one. So how can I pastor and you be a first lady? I don't quite get that. How can you pastor, Mr. Motivator, and your wife doesn't? How can you be one? How can that heart beat in one chest and you're two different things? You know, help me here now. We're trying to talk truth. Maybe you guys can help me out. You know, yes, I'm in the ministry. I preach the gospel, but this confuses me. So I need help in this arena. So tell me, Mr. Motivator, what are your thoughts here?
I think what you said, the pastor in the first day, I think that was taken from the president and the first lady. Okay, because there's the president who's in charge of running the country, and then his wife is the first lady, or the president's wife, or considered the first lady. But what you said a few minutes ago, that when we're husband and wife, we become one. I think, in actuality, when we become pastors, you know, pastors take on the position, and their wives that have been joined together with them take on that same responsibility in the sense that they're responsible for being firm and for standing with the pastor, because the pastor doesn't pastor by himself. He passes with his wife, and a lot of times he has to talk to his wife when he's making considerations of maybe how he wants to address something with the women in the church. But I think sometimes people get off track when they take what was simple in the Bible and then they try to incorporate what the society does. And that's where the problem comes in. When we try to do what everybody else does, that's where we create situations and problems that arise. We have to look at things objectively and try to do what's right without trying to copy off of society. That's where the problem comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And back to the other part that you said about the unfairness and why sometimes I think women are treated the way they're treated. Again, it's insecurity. When you're insecure about yourself, an insecure person feels better if someone else is below them. So if I have a title, you don't have a title. Or I give you a smaller title because I don't want you to share in the title that I have. Okay? I receive $300,000 a year for my position as being the chief executive officer or the CEO. Okay? But now since you're a female, $50,000 would be better for you. So, again, I think insecurity plays a big part in that. Did you want to say something, Ms. Edwards?
Okay. In response to all of that, I think that a lot of reason why a lot of the women are treated as second-class citizens is because it not only started in the Bible days, but it also came through in the families. Back in certain centuries, a long time ago, families wanted sons because they felt like the sons could keep their name going. So if that man could produce a son, he felt more empowered. Whereas if he was producing daughters, you know, he felt like, you know, he wasn't getting empowerment because the boys, they're known to keep their name going, whereas the girls, at some point in time when they get married, that name dies,
and they take on the name of the
man that they married. So there's that ego again. That man wants to feel like there's my seed out there because of that name. That name is so important, and so they feel like if they can produce the son, that son just gonna keep their name going. And that's
okay.
Yes.
All right. You know, I believe exactly what you're saying. That word ego has gotten a lot of us in trouble.
Mm.
I just don't believe God gave us an ego. I think that's a flesh thing that we have adopted and it makes our flesh feel good. And I believe this is why the Apostle Paul says you need to let that flesh die daily so you can perform the duties that you were put here to perform.
Yes.
So this is why we have to do this. But if you will notice, I don't understand why people don't want a strong woman. Have you seen the outline for the woman God is talking about? I mean, that's a powerful woman. I mean, if you will read Proverbs 31, you start at that 10th verse and go all the way to the 31st verse, that is a powerful female. She does everything. And you know what? Everything she does, what does it do? It makes her husband look good. You know, that Proverbs 31 woman is so powerful that when people see Mr. Motivator standing before a crowd motivating people, you know what they're going to say? Boy, that man's wife sure keep him looking good. That's what they're going to say.
That's right.
And this is what we need to understand. Women can carry themselves because they are powerful. Not only is that woman that God is put out there, not only does she look out for her man, she takes care of him, she takes care of her household, she takes care of her maid, she takes care of everybody in that house. That is a powerful woman. So, Mr. Motivator, go ahead.
I just want to add a comment and let you see if it brings anything to your mind on that. But that old cliche, behind every successful man is a powerful woman.
Yes, it is.
Or a good woman. Would you like to comment on that? Because I believe it's true.
Yes, I believe it's true as well. Because you find people who are successful.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever, you know, there are men who are successful, but their families seek out this powerfully strong woman to put with him so that he can become more of what he's trying to be.
Yeah.
And this is what we are missing. When you find a man who always has something negative to say about a strong female and, oh, you're trying to do this, come on now. What are we looking for? We're looking for somebody that can get in there and help us do what we're trying to do. And you know another thing that really impresses me about what God says about a strong woman?
Yeah.
He says her husband safely trusts in her. See, you've got to trust that woman you're with. You've got to trust that woman that you have in that position, whether she's your wife, whether she's your president of your company. If you chose her to be president of that company, if God chose her to pastor that church, trust in her because that means you have come with qualifications. You know, not only are you walking in that role, but you're qualified to be in that role. But we try to diminish it. I have been in the workplace. I've been in corporate America for years. I've been in certain positions. And when you get so high in a position and everybody up there with you has to hit on you to diminish who you are and try to make you feel like you need to sleep around with them in order to maintain your position, I don't think so.
Yes.
That's not proper.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that if I'm a female and I've given it all I've got, acknowledge me for that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to acknowledge me for that. I was in a place this past weekend where I had to speak, and there was a gentleman who had to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the master ceremony was a man.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, pardon me, when I finished speaking, everybody was yay, 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 yay. Master ceremony didn't move. But when the man got through speaking, that master ceremony talked about it for the next hour. Oh, Mr. So-and-so, you did such a wonderful job. You did. Now, etiquette would tell me, if I'm going to give you accolades, Mr. Motivator, for being here on this show.
Yes.
I have to give those same props to my sister here. What did you do so much greater than what she did? You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We are diminished by just words from what someone else has to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about the third world countries and how they wrap us up. Well, you wrap me up every time you shut me down.
Mm-hmm.
You have wrapped me up. You have covered my face, my neck, and everything. Don't you trust me to be able to carry myself in a ladylike manner, regardless of what I have on? I'm able to carry myself in a place and in a position that would make you proud. You know, when I do get a husband, I want my husband to be proud of me. I want to be able to be strong, powerful, and my husband trust me at the same time. But we don't always have that. You know, we as females, we don't have that. If we're, who you trying to let see? Who you trying to be with? But, you know, that stuff is old. And when we get to, especially those of us that sold out for Christ, we sold that mess out a long time ago. So why are we still suffering from it?
I believe, Lord said, you can't respect somebody else if you don't have respect for yourself. When you respect yourself, you're going to respect other people. When you see people that disrespect others, you're looking at someone that doesn't have any respect for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's all about. You have to respect yourself, and then you can respect others. And until you get to that place, you will continue to knock down, criticize, and tear down any individual. If you don't have enough respect for yourself, you're going to do this. And that's why you see a lot of people doing that. You see a lot of men that have to sometimes bash women when they make an appearance, because that man doesn't have any respect for himself. So he feels that he has to lowrate or degrade that particular lady. And we need to respect each other. I got to respect you for your brilliance, for your accomplishments, for the things that you've achieved, whether you're a man or whether you're a woman. Greatness is a seed that's within someone, and that seed doesn't have anything to do with what that person's gender is. It's just a seed of greatness, and we all have it. Women have it, men have it, children have it, and we have to respect ourselves and respect those individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And until we get to that place, we are not going to see each other as individuals. We're going to see someone else less than us. Anytime any individual or any group of people want to disrespect or put down any other group of people, it's because that seed of respect is not within them. No one can treat his fellow man less than himself if he doesn't have respect for himself.
Okay. Well, Mr. Motivator, let me applaud you for saying that, because that is absolutely true. In fact, I believe if you get down to the bottom line, it has to do with what a person actually feels about themselves. And we just going to have to start keeping our people motivated. And especially I want to be able to, our young boys, our young men, our teenagers, our 20-year-olds, 23-year-olds, they need a male mentor. They do. I've worked with a number of young males who have come from the wrong side of the tracks and who have sometimes gotten in trouble. God has brought them back and lifted them up. And I search for men, especially in the body of Christ, that I can assign these kids to. But I don't want to assign them to someone that's arrogant, who feels that just because you male, you got it going on. You know, Jesus is the ultimate power. and he never walks around saying, I'm Jesus, do what I say. He doesn't do that. What does with loving kindness did he draw us? And I think loving kindness is what's going to draw our young men. And we look, you know, I search daily. I'm asking God to put some male mentors there that I can assign to these young men that will treat these young men as they treat themselves, to help bring them up and show them how to be men. I've got a couple who have babies, and they're young. They don't know how to take care of babies. They don't know the responsibility. But it's going to take some male to step in there and say, son, this is how it works. Sometimes when you're tired, you still have to press your way to go ahead and take care of this baby. You know, help to mold them and so that they will be good parents and proper parents for their children. So this is what we're looking for. This is why we have the Let's Talk Truth show. This is why we're trying to put out the Let's Talk Truth magazine. This is why we're trying to do things to build our regular citizens up. You know, without money, what else do you have to offer a person except show them how to be in love with themselves? Everyone is not rich. We're not looking for people who have money, because 9 times out of 10, a lot of people have money, you're miserable because you haven't been taught how to love yourself. So this is why I do this particular show like this, the Let's Talk Truth show. There are some loving men out there who can teach their young men it's okay to cry every now and then, because if you don't cry, how can you know what I'm feeling? You know what I'm saying? Yes. And it doesn't make you female because you cry. It just makes you human. And so this is what we're looking at. Now, this is going to bring me to a part of the show that we wanted to do from last week. Last week on my show, I posed a question. I said, when you have a teenage male and female, and they decide to become sexually active, I said, tell me this. If they become sexually active and the result is the young lady gets pregnant, should they be forced to marry? I have seen this on numerous occasions, and I asked everyone who wanted to participate in this to email me. And you can still email me your question, but for this particular, you can still email me your answer. But for this particular answer, we did get several emails. I enjoyed reading them. Some people felt that, yeah, they should be made to marry. Some people said, no, they shouldn't. But I was really impressed by a young man who answered the email. And in this email, they talked of how they should not be forced to marry, but should be taught how to co-parent together without making them marry, because 9 times out of 10, if you will have to be one out of I don't know how many people to know that you're in love with somebody as a teenager. You know, you just experienced a moment of a moment with that young lady, but you don't know, have a clue what it's like to spend the rest of your life with someone and to miss out on life by trying to spend your life with someone. So I was very impressed with this person's answer. They wrote in detail how they felt that if someone could teach these young children how to co-parent and enjoy the growth of their child without the total responsibility of being husband and wife, you know, being led by whomever their adult parents are. So I was kind of impressed with that, because too many times we make these boys and girls marry, Mr. Motivator and Ms. Edwards, and they don't have a clue. They don't really love that
that girl and she doesn't really love him. So what are you doing? You're putting them in a situation that will make that child, you know, you'll tear his life up or his or her life up like that, because they won't have the right kind of nurturing to bring them up. They won't be in a loving place, a loving home. It's a difference to be loved by one person, but to see two people fighting and disagreeing all the time, it does something bad to that person, that child's mind. So I was very impressed with this young person. So I pulled their deal and I sent them an email and asked them if they would come by the studio, that they had won a prize, a gift card, a $25 gift card.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be able to do whatever they want to with it, but not say it. We know that that's not a lot, but hopefully it will motivate people to listen, to not just listen because it's my show, but listen because they have an opportunity to speak the truth, not hold back, not be ashamed of it, have an opportunity to speak the truth. So, Mr., I'm not going to give you his last name, but his first name is Danielle, middle last name is G, and he did a wonderful job, I believe, on that question, and I'm going to... And I want to... I might see if I can get that posted onto my... part of it on my Twitter or whatever, on my Facebook account, so that you guys can read it in its entirety. Okay, so we're going to have these periodically throughout the time. And Mr. Motivator, come on and tell me what, I know you're itching to say something.
I just think it's great that the young man emailed you back and gave you such great insight as to how he would handle the situation, and also I think it's great on your part. You're giving out some prizes and everything to people who participate. I just want to give a shout out to all of the women who feel that they've been mistreated or they've been treated like a second class citizen. Now, what comes to me is, what is an entrepreneur? An entrepreneur is someone that looks for a market niche. They look for a need that's not being fulfilled. Ladies, young ladies, women who are listening to the program tonight, I want to encourage all of you to step out and look for a need that's not being fulfilled. And to you may end up discovering your purpose for this life, because so many people follow the path of others, and a leader sets his own direction. A leader creates a pathway, and you have to ask yourself a question: are you a leader or are you a follower? If you got 10 women shooting for the position to be pastor, be the assistant pastor, there's going to be a conflict. And if you're a woman and you have a pastor that doesn't believe in women or feel that women have a place and that's below any man, okay, I think you should look for a need and feel that need. And look for where you can use your talents and use what you've been blessed with. And for those of you who'd like to explore that even further, I invite you to check out my book, Success is an Attitude, because your attitude will make you or break you. And because you've been discouraged, because you've been told, hey, we don't want you here, you're not good enough, you're a second-class citizen, You didn't say anything. We're just going to talk about everybody else because we don't think you have a place here. That book will encourage you to seek your purpose in life and to fulfill your purpose for this life. And you can check out my book. You can order it.
at dwightjeffrey.blogspot.com. For those of you who would like to receive that book, and I'm not just pushing it because of my book, it's a book of encouragement. All of us need to be encouraged. And, Lois, you are an inspiration to me because I met you years ago working in the banking industry. And to see you start at the bottom of the ranks and work your way all up to the top and become a financial giant. I mean, what if that's not respect, I don't know what is, but you earned it. You didn't. Nobody paved the way. You paved your own way. And I want to encourage other women who are listening to the show to continue to reach out and aim for the top. Reach up into the sky and pull you out a handful of stars and discover who you are. Discover the inner you that's within you that's being trapped. Don't allow yourself to be put down. Don't allow someone to tie you up, to put your head under the rug. Don't allow yourself to be treated like a second-class citizen anymore.
Amen. Amen. Mr. Motivator, thank you so much, because until we know our purpose, will we know where we stand? You have to know your purpose and know where you stand. Well, as I say to anyone, I don't believe you can make me feel like a second-class citizen anymore. I know what you're aiming to do. I see it. I know what you're trying to do to me, but I think you waited too late to make me feel like that. See, I've grown. You know, I've gotten so big now within myself. I know who I am. You can't make me feel little. You can't make me feel unnecessary. You cannot make me feel accomplished, because who I am is who God says I am. And the power that he gives me, the places that I walk and the doors that he opens for me, I'm merely going to leave those doors open for somebody else to walk through, just like I walked through them. So I just thank God for that. And I just thank each of you for being here. I want y'all to encourage. Our magazine we're running slow, a little behind on getting our magazine ready, but that's because it took me a long time to get people to Photoshop my photos like I wanted to. So God blessed me with my own Photoshop, and now he's blessing me to learn how to do it. So, you know, sometimes when things aren't available for you, just tell God about it. He's going to open up some doors for you. You won't have to stand and wait a lot longer. And I will tell every one of you, how many of you out there got laid off your jobs? Well, I am in your class. I was laid off, but guess what? Man, my body feels so much better. I feel so much better. I feel so good about myself. I feel so good about where I've been. I feel good about where I'm going. So you can't pull the second-class citizen over here anymore. And I want all the ladies to be able to stand up and say the same thing. You know, I am who God says that I am. I am a powerful woman, and I am in my place. And so we're here to motivate. We're here to lift up everyone. And I'm going to challenge ladies, if between now and my next broadcast, which is next Tuesday at 7:30, ladies, if you will send me an email with your best words on if this broadcast blessed you in any way or helped set you free in any way or just said something that you wanted to hear, send me an email. Let me read it, and I promise you we'll share it, and I don't know what we may give our winner for that, but there will be a winner. We'll pick some one of you that's got this dynamic dialogue, and, you know, so we can share it with everybody, something you said, and we'll choose this dialogue, and we'll call you up and give you a gift, you know. Yeah, so
The email address is letstalktruth333@yahoo.com, and that's let's without the apostrophe, letstalktruth, 333@yahoo.com. If you will send that to me, I promise you, I just enjoy reading your emails and knowing that you are awesomely there to listen, and can't wait until we get in a position where we can share and you can talk back to me, because I want to hear you talk truth as well. So it's an awesome ride. And we're going to try to have more guests each week. If you'd like to be a guest, let me know. I'll bring you over to my studio, and I promise you, you will definitely enjoy coming. We have a wonderful staff over here. Our staff, they keep our guests, they keep the green room ready for our guests with drink and little snacks or whatever. But I just thank my staff so much, because they tolerate me if I say, no, put this, and no, we want this, and no, we want that. So they're always on point to do what I ask. You know, at the last minute, I might say, pull this down, shut that up, close that down. But I just enjoy, I really do enjoy what I do. And we're going to be able to take that further and further. So we're going to let Ms. Edwards have just a closing words quickly. We're going to let Mr. Motivator have closing words quickly. And from that, then I'm going to close the show. I think we have like 4 minutes to go. So, Ms. Edwards, how'd you enjoy the show?
I enjoyed the show just fine. I learned a lot by listening to you all, you know, talk and everything. So my words, the words I want to leave out here with the ladies out here, remember, If a man loves his mama, he's going to love you as well. So if he treats his mother good, he's going to treat you good. So remember, get with a brother that's going to not only treat you good, but have respect for all the women out there. Because remember, that man is not going to want another man to mistreat his mama, his sister, his grandmother, or any other female in his family. So remember that.
Okay. All of you men that are listening to Let's Talk Truth tonight, I just want to encourage you to just change your attitude, and you'll change your life. I like opening the door for my mother when she's getting into the car, she's going into a building, and guess what? I treat other women the same way that I would like for my mother to be treated. And for you young men out there, you need to treat the young ladies the same way you would like for somebody to treat your sister. When you look at it from that point of view, you're going to be a little bit more respectful about how you treat young ladies. And for men in general, men, it's time for us to change and not live back in the older days. Let's move to the 21st century and learn to love each other, appreciate each other, so that we can do things to change the world.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mr. Motivator and Ms. Edwards, I just thank you guys for taking out your busy schedule. Mr. Motivator, I know you're very busy, yes, because you're from here to here and here to here motivating, doing what you've been called to do. Yes. And you have left your family just to come over and be with us, so I really, really thank you for that, and I have thoroughly enjoyed sharing this hour with you. Remember, everyone out there, if you want to talk to us, Let's Talk Truth, do Let's Talk Truth 333@yahoo.com, and also if you decide you wanted to call and leave a message so that I can hear that lovely voice of yours, just call 469-554-0337. You can always leave a message and I will get back with you and we'll talk and share some things. Look, I'm all about enjoying life and telling the truth while I do it. So thank God for each of you. And again,
and those that are on Twitter.
Okay, those of you that are on Twitter, on Twitter, but listen, I've got to get my Twitter account. I don't readily remember it. Well, I can just give it to you, but I'll give it to you if you email me and ask me for it. I will. So let's just remember this as we close this evening. This is Lois. This is Let's Talk Truth. And I'm here loving you with the heart of God. Good night.